Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, joined by my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. Thank you for joining us today. Well, we have just entered into the most holy season of Lent, a time meant to be marked by penitential preparation for the celebration of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. And one of the most important themes during Lent is that of repentance and being reconciled back to God. Holy Mother Church encourages all of us during Lent to approach the sacrament of penance, that sacrament of God's great mercy, with humble and contrite hearts, so that we may share in the joys of Easter Sunday with purity of heart. So with this theme in mind, we're going to be speaking today with Bernadette Roy, a member of St. Thomas More Parish in Mooresville. Bernie is a volunteer for the Archdiocesan's post-abortion healing ministry known as Project Rachel. But first, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come before you as prodigal sons and daughters. We have sinned against you and have done what is evil in your sight. Yet we dare to approach you because we are filled with hope, knowing that in the greatness of your compassion, you wipe out our offenses, wash us from our guilt, and cleanse us from our sins. We lift up to you and intercede on behalf of all souls who have been involved in past abortions. We pray especially for all parents who have lost a child to abortion and whose hearts are closed to your mercy. May they be given the grace of repentance and come to know your healing embrace. We pray for parents who are overwhelmed by grief and remorse at the loss of their child to abortion. May Jesus, the Good Shepherd, so rich in mercy and compassion, heal their broken hearts. We pray for all who counsel the parents of aborted children, that God will reward them for their crosses they bear and grant them words of wisdom as they lead souls to Him. Father, we feel the deep pain and scars that abortion has left upon parents, doctors, nurses, grandparents, siblings, and all of society. We come before you, as Rachel did, with bitter weeping, mourning our children who are no more. And we hear your words, cease your cries of mourning, wipe the tears from your eyes. The sorrow you have shown shall have its reward. There is hope for your future. Amen. Amen. Let's go now to this week's in the news.
In what just might be one of the greatest ironies of the year so far, Planned Parenthood President Leanna Wen sent out a tweet last week showing her disapproval of children being separated from their parents at the U.S.-Mexican border. Forcibly removing a child from their parent or guardian can cause lifelong physical and emotional harm to the child's well-being, Wen tweeted. Pro-lifers jumped on Wen's illogic with comments like, perhaps if the child had been ripped apart instead of removed from the parents, there would be less concern of lifelong physical and emotional harm. As reported last week, Wen has strongly vocalized her opposition to the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would ensure that babies who are born alive after a failed abortion would receive the medical care that they needed. And this past week, the American Medical Association filed a lawsuit against President Trump, challenging his revised Title X regulations that would force Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers to separate out their abortion business from other family planning services. Called the Protect Life Rule, the new regulations would begin the process of defunding Planned Parenthood. The American Medical Association joins several other organizations and state governments in bringing the suit. The AMA, which is America's largest medical association, is known for its pro-abortion stance and its backing of assisted suicide. A young father of an unborn baby who was aborted against his will won a legal victory with a probate judge in Alabama earlier this week. Madison County Probate Judge Frank Berger recognized the unborn child of Mr. Ryan Madgers as a person with legal rights, permitting the lawsuit to advance. I just tried to plead with her and just talk to her about it and see what I could do. But in the end, there was nothing I could do to change her mind, Madgers said of the 2017 abortion of his and his girlfriend's six-week-old unborn child. Even though there's nothing I can do for the situation I was in, there is something I can do for the future situations for other people. Madgers and his lawyers were grateful for the ruling and are hoping the case can reach the Alabama Supreme Court. On Ash Wednesday, March 6th, 40 Days for Life kicked off in cities around the world, including right here in Bloomington. An opening prayer vigil was held at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood with around 15 people in attendance. Planned Parenthood was unusually slow and quiet on the first day of the campaign, but approximately 20 unborn children were killed by abortion on the following day. Several local men stepped up to provide overnight prayer coverage from Thursday 8 p.m. until Friday 8 a.m. to help make reparation for the lives lost. Inspiring reports are already coming in from the campaigns, including news that a baby was saved in the very first hour of the vigil being held in Birmingham, England. The mother was given a leaflet on her way into the abortion center, but came out 15 minutes later saying she had changed her mind and was keeping her baby. And that's your weekly in the news.
Monica, many people know someone who has experienced an abortion, and many of us may even know someone who is suffering right now because of an abortion.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rhonda. In fact, when I was a student at Indiana University back in the 1980s, my roommate, one night out of the blue, told me that she had had an abortion. Now, having grown up being taught that abortion was wrong, I was shocked and didn't know what to say. You know, and unfortunately, I had also caved into the thinking that, well, I can't tell other people how to live or what to do. So I ended up telling my roommate things like, well, what else could you have done? You needed to finish your college education after all. And so I ended up downplaying the whole thing. And at the time, I couldn't see that she was crying out for help. And a few months later, I saw her fall into alcohol and drug abuse and even promiscuity. And she and the father of the baby quickly broke up, even though at one time they had planned to spend the rest of their lives together. It all seemed to change after the abortion. And only years later did I realize how I had failed to really listen to her cry for help, and I regret it to this day.
Well, our guest on today's program is Bernie Roy, a volunteer for Project Rachel, a compassionate and confidential ministry that is designed to extend God's unconditional love and forgiveness to women and men who have experienced the tragedy of abortion. Bernie is going to be speaking with us today about the emotional and spiritual wounds left by a past abortion and about the incredible help that is available to begin the healing and reconciliation process. Jesus told St. Maria Faustina, "There is no misery that could be a match for my mercy." And I'm sure that Bernie and the work that she does can attest to that. So let's bring Bernie Roy on now. Hi, Bernie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today here on Pro Life to the Max.
Now, Bernie, first of all, thank you for all you're doing in your ministry. And it's very important work. It's a very important apostolate because there's a lot of pain out there caused by abortion, and there are few souls left untouched by this great tragedy. Now, Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard, and all of the other post-abortion ministries serve as a beacon of hope to those who have been gravely wounded. So, Bernie, you know intimately the pain and the loss that comes with having an abortion. So can you share with us your own experience and how that served as a catapult for your involvement in post-abortion ministry?
I certainly will. After a failed marriage, I took my two sons out of a Catholic school and I walked away from the church for about 16 years. During this time is when I had my abortion. And after that, things only got worse. I couldn't tell anybody in my family or friends, so I stuffed it deep down in the innermost dark spot in my soul. I couldn't see what others saw. That something was so different about me. I had changed, became angry and a selfish person. I drank a lot and took too many risks. This went on for many years, and then came the nightmares and the thoughts of suicide. While this was going on, I was working two jobs and supporting both the boys and myself. And one day, I was repairing something for the boys' grandparents, my former father-in-law and mother-in-law. We were still part of each other's lives. It was Dad that talked to me that day, and he told me I needed to talk to a priest. I did, and it was the most painful and joyful experience at the same time. This priest not only helped me get the graces I needed through reconciliation, but also he helped me through the annulment process. I was back in the church, and I was receiving the sacrament, and then God sent me my true husband, my partner for God's plan. We were married in the church with family and friends, and that included all my former in-laws, all of them,
wow.
Brothers sister-in-law's mom and dad, sitting alongside my family and my husband's family. I was home. I started the real healing from the abortion about 3 years later, going through a program called Rachel's Companion. Then I went to a Rachel's Vineyard retreat with two other volunteers from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And that is when we were convinced that that was the program to use. And in 2006, the first Rachel's Vineyard was done in Bloomington, Indiana. And from then on, we mostly used that format. I've spent many years as a worker in Rachel's Vineyard, helping those that have had abortion in their life. I helped them find reconciliation, peace, and some closure. The memorial service on Sunday is both beautiful and deeply painful. Once the parent or grandparent is given an opportunity to open their heart to the truth of the child's unique life, they can experience the fullness of the loss. Then they receive a precious gift of spiritual relationship with the child. And then something beautiful happens. They receive and feel the hope of one day being reunited in the life to come. It is a beautiful experience.
Yeah, so were you aware of, like, when you were going through those hard times and you said you started drinking, did you sense then that that abortion was causing some of this? Was that ever on your radar?
No, I thought it had to do with, you know, being divorced and falling in and out of, you know, relationships and working too hard and, you know, not getting financial support. I had I didn't realize that the abortion was causing all this agony.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So Bernie, can you discuss all of the people that can be affected by abortion? I mean, obviously the woman herself, but also the men.
It really affects the whole family. The abortion of the baby is a failure of future promises, you know, for all the family members. The mother is the center of the tragedy, but it affects everybody. It's the opposite of the joy and hope a birth brings, you know, this celebration, the baby showers. In most cases, the extended family doesn't even know till years later. And when they find out, the grief and the loss is just as strong as it happened a few weeks before. If the parent, the grandparent, is the one that takes the daughter, it's even greater sorrow. Because not only is she not a grandparent now, she has watched her daughter go through a change, and that her daughter is never the same person again.
Oh, I know. And it's so heartbreaking because we don't think, you know, about these things.
Yeah.
So you're like with your own sons, can you look back or now? I mean, were they affected by it? Did you see that? Were they affected by it too?
Yes. Yes. Oh. It has affected even now the relationship. When you're going through it, you also don't want to get too near. You don't think you're good enough for someone to love you. You think you'll contaminate others. And I knew deep down inside I was trying so hard to reconcile that I wasn't such an evil person, that I didn't bring evil upon others.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, okay, I know you talked a little bit about your own experience too, but what in general, what are some of the effects and the symptoms of stress and everything that an abortion can have on a woman?
I'm glad you asked that. It's some of the symptoms are guilt and shame and grief that you just can't talk about. They are eating disorders, and you already, like I said, had low self-esteem, and you're angry. You're angry at others. You're angry at yourself. You're even angry at God. You have problems sleeping, and as I mentioned, nightmares, and I did mention alcohol and drug abuse, and that's just a few. And these are barriers that break us away from God and living the life that He really planned for us. And most of the people don't seek healing right away. And some, they go on and have other abortions, and they become almost numb until someday down the road, they all of a sudden wake up. Something like my father-in-law talking to me, something triggers something. Somebody triggers something. And that's why Project Rachel is such an effective tool to help men too, women and men, in their journey for healing.
Yeah. So what would you say, about how long after a woman has had an abortion does she begin to feel these harmful effects? I mean, is it right away? Does it take some time? Does it vary?
It varies. I spoke to a young woman that had an abortion 2 weeks prior to when she called me. And what triggered hers, I don't know why they told her, but they told her it was twins. Oh. And she worked in a nursing home. And she came up to the room 22, and she couldn't work the rest of the day. She had a breakdown. and we ended up taking her to get help immediately. So you never know. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 2 months, 2 years, 20 years. I even spoke to a woman on her deathbed who was 80-something years old, and she had an illegal abortion, but she didn't want to die without some kind of reconciliation with it.
So, Bernie, have you found that over the years, even those who support abortion are acknowledging that an abortion can cause these psychological effects, like post-traumatic stress disorders?
Well, if you ask Planned Parenthood, they'll tell you that the woman suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder probably had a psychological issue before she had the abortion. Well, let's talk some truth here. An abortion is a shock to the person's body and mind. It's a trauma. We treat trauma. We don't dismiss it. The Archdiocese of Indianapolis has a list of therapists that can help and are trained in this area of post-abortion. And that's just the mental issues. There's so many medical issues tied up with this, too. No one wants to face these things.
Yeah, so what kind of medical issues are involved? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, sure I can. There are, oh gosh, I can't put out a number, but I'll give you an idea. They're associated with induced abortion, like we're talking about. Minor complications could be minor infections, bleeding, fever, chronic abdomen pain, intestinal disturbances, vomiting. The most common major ones that we hear or you read in the paper are infection, excessive bleeding, embolism, the ripping or the puncturing of the uterus, anesthetics complications, even convulsions and hemorrhaging. And that's just to name a few. There was Elliott Institute. There was a series of about 1,000 abortions, and they closely regulated the hospital condition. 27% of patients acquired post-abortion infections lasting 3 days or longer.
That's incredible.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, such infections could cause infertility. And then the Institute, Elliott Institute, goes on and says 33% of women have thoughts of suicide. I'm one of those 33%. And 54 reported an increase of what we said post-abortion stress syndrome around the anniversary of the abortion. And that's a real big trigger, the anniversary of the abortion.
This is, we don't even hear much about this, do we? And
no,
like the secular thing.
No, one wants to talk about it.
No, they don't.
And let's face it, the women and men that are involved in an abortion, they don't want to talk about it. It's one of those things they just want to keep quiet. That's why Project Rachel and retreats and programs help, because they can talk about it in a safe and confidential place.
So, Bernie, can you lead us through what types of things go on during a Rachel's Vineyard healing retreat?
Sure I can. Well, when the retreatants come, they're welcomed, and we escort them to their rooms, and we have just a simple dinner that Friday evening. Friday evening is kind of a gentle gathering of getting to know who the facilitators are, the team, the therapist, priest, and each other. And Saturday, the next morning, we have Mass and breakfast, and it's a very busy day. We do living scriptures, letter writing, there's confession, adoration is offered, and storytelling, telling each other the stories of what happened, where they were when they had the abortion, and where they want to be. Sunday is a day of remembering. That's when the miracle happens. There's a memorial for the children and recognizing Christ in each other. We actually affirm each other, and then we say goodbye and call our new friends.
Wow. So do you often see a transformation right away? I mean, just wow, good.
Well, you see them come in. Shoulders bent over, sad face. And then Saturday, you see determination, I would say, because they're working. They're working for a goal. And Sunday, you see tears, but you also see joy. You see that there's hope that someday they will be reunited, not only with their children, but with God himself, because we give our children to the Lord. We entrust our children to the Lord. We tell them, take care of them till I can come. And that's the beauty of it. And it is awful painful, too, because we are actually remembering and naming the children.
So, Bernie, how do men and women find out about the retreats, and how often do you hold them?
Well, the retreats in Indiana can be found at rachelsvineyard.org. And from that website, it'll tell you by state. And in the state of Indiana, I think there's three different locations. We take turns with the Lafayette Diocese. So we have one now coming up in March. They will have one in June. And I think they're going to have a second one in November. But we work hand in hand with that Lafayette Diocese.
Okay. And can non-Catholics attend these retreats?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked. Well, when Teresa Burke started it, she started it with a therapeutic support group for post-abortion women in 1986. And then in 2014, they had about 1,000 retreats annually, 48 in the U.S. states and 70 in other countries. So it's worldwide. And then the Rachel's Vineyard manual is translated into 10 languages. Now, the retreat is designed for all that are wounded, grandparents, fathers, mothers, siblings, Catholic or non-Catholic. And that is, again, the beauty of this program.
So our archdiocese itself, it really has a really good post-abortion healing and resources, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. Really, they not only have that type of, you know, retreats, they also have the network that you follow by, Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. They have a website called Project Rachel Indiana that you can click on and see, you know, what's going on, the Archdiocese Human Life, Human Dignity and Life has a website. The social media is full of information.
So, Bernie, would you say that most women feel pressured to have an abortion? And if they do, where do they generally receive that pressure from?
Yeah, I would say that the pressure. There are so many different types of pressure. They can be medical. They can be work. They can be school. Someone said earlier that girl needed to finish school. It could be financial. It could be the shame of being pregnant and not being married. And it comes from spouses, boyfriends, parents, teachers, other family members, and society itself.
Yeah.
And so, Bernie, what would you say to help post-abortive women? What can family members and friends say to help post-abortive women?
Yeah. Many families don't even know that their relative has had an abortion, because post-abortive people deny that anything bad has happened, so they don't talk about it. If you know somebody, when they bring it up, listen, don't judge, don't give general advice like I heard earlier. Well, what else could you have done? Just listen, and listen with your heart, and be honest with them. Be patient, be truthful, offer them information, just like you're hearing today about Rachel's Vineyard Retreat. Offer Rachel's Vineyard .org or Project Rachel Indiana, or you can remember my name and call the Human Dignity and Life Center down at the Archdiocese. Tell them you heard me on the radio and that you think it will help, you know?
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're giving us a lot of good information, Bernie.
Yeah.
And tell them everything they talk to me or anybody else at the Archdiocese is confidential and safe. No one repeats anything. At the retreat, you take a promise of confidentiality. No one says anything.
Okay. Well, Bernie, we are rapidly running out of time. So is there anything else you'd like to quickly add here?
I'm glad you asked that, because there is something going on right here. This month, the Indiana Attorney General, Curtis Hill, petitioning the Supreme Court of Indiana to review the injunction against the 18-hour ultrasound provision.
Yes.
And it was in 2016, the Dignity for the Unborn Act. Well, it was blocked by the ultrasound law. Mm-hmm. It was blocked by District Court Judge Tanya Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're
that increased abortions in 2017.
Yes.
So the organization Indiana Right to Life and Alan Parker of the Justice Foundation an Operation Outcry. They need our prayers and our support because they're writing a brief for this, to stop the blockage and to continue that the ultrasound be shown 18 hours before the abortion.
Yeah, and so important so that we can help women prevent them from going through this in the first place.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Bernie Roy, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today and helping us to better understand the pain and the wounds that abortion can cause women, men, and families, and letting us know about the help that is available.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, in his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, Pope St. John Paul II wrote the following: I would now like to say a special word to women who have had an abortion. The Church is aware of the many factors which may have influenced your decision, and she does not doubt that in many cases it was a painful and even shattering decision. The wound in your heart may not yet have healed. Certainly what happened was and remains terribly wrong, but do not give in to discouragement and do not lose hope. Try rather to understand what happened and face it honestly. If you have not already done so, give yourself over with humility and trust to repentance. The Father of Mercies is ready to give you his forgiveness and his peace in the sacrament of reconciliation. To the same Father and his mercy you can, with sure hope, entrust your child. With the friendly and expert help and advice of other people, and as a result of your own painful experience, you can be among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. Once again, Bernie, thank you so much for your work. And truly, because of your own painful experience and the acceptance of God's mercy, you have become a beautiful and compassionate advocate for post-abortive women and men. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. Well, the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard wrote, God creates out of nothing. Wonderful, you say. Yes, to be sure, but he does what is still more wonderful yet. He makes saints out of sinners. And what hope that should give us all. Well, 40 Days for Life is underway, and your prayers and participation are desperately needed to win graces for moms and their unborn babies so that they will be saved from the violence of abortion. You can sign up by using the online schedule at 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. Thank you for being with us today on Pro-Life to the Max. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.